Okay. Before we start study, there's a few things I need to talk about Christmas. When we were kids, we say when the Christmas is here, then around the corner, then we say it's finally here. Now that we are adults, and we're wondering, is it ever going to be over? And our wallet can't handle it. When we are young, we believed in Santa because somebody told us. And when we become a teenager, we no longer believe that there is a Santa. And when we became an adult, we became a Santa. And now we get old, we look like a Santa. Huh? There are two toys that must have nowadays, I was told. First one is the TMX Elmo. You're supposed to tickle under the chin and belly, and it will flip-flop and then making us all this giggling noise. It's the hottest item. I'm going to invent another toy right after the Christmas, about give them 3 days. Terminator of the TMX Elmo. It will give the mom and dad the pleasure to shoot that noisy Elmo. Another one they have a hottest item is a Digi Makeover. It's a child version of, you know, using computer screen that it can take a picture of themselves and change a silly picture or as well as making them look a little bit serious. Isn't it a little too young to start at 6 years old? What are they going to have next? Baby Botox? Folks, some of you guys thinking that, especially ladies, Santa cannot be. By the way, just to make it clear, Santa, there's no such a thing as Santa. I know I just blow the bubbles onto somebody. Well, too bad, right? Let's make it clear. And the ladies think that Santa cannot be a man. If it's a man, there won't be a reindeer, because the reindeer would be dead, gutted, and strapped in the back of the rear bumper of the sleigh. Number two is, if it's a reindeer, Santa is a man, and somehow reindeer is still alive, Santa will never get to the place where he's supposed to go, because number one, he'll get lost. He would not stop and ask for what? Direction. Exactly. And there's three other reasons why the ladies believe this Santa cannot be a man. Is number one, if a Santa is a man, he doesn't know how to pack the bag. Number two, if it's a man, he'd rather be dead than wearing the cut with a red velvet suit. And also, being a Santa requires a commitment. Guys don't like commitment. All right, fun is over. Let's study. Let's start. There are many characters in the Bible. We know quite well about them because there's a lot of references in the Bible. So we can learn about them well. However, there are people whom we don't know anything about them. And some of them, we don't even know their names. Now, we have a group of unknown people. These people, those unknown people, just come on the stage and do their part and go away and never to be heard again. This is the group of people, shepherds, that we see and we hear often about the Christmas event. And there are a group of shepherds coming into the picture, and they do their part and gone and never to hear from them. However, God used these people to be the first evangelists of the good news of Jesus Christ. Other than prophet, no one ever heard the voice of God. Last 400 years from the end of Jeremiah until the New Testament was written, for 400 years God was silent. When they heard the first cry of the baby Jesus, they heard the voice of God announcing the arrival of God himself, incarnate God on earth. And that is a big news. And he came to die for our sins. He didn't come here just to be a king. He came to die for our sins. Without Him, we could not have an eternal life. We will start at verse 8 of chapter 2 of the book of Luke, and we will start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, let us remember who You are and why we have a Christmas. It is not about the gift exchanging, even though that's good, even though it's good to have a family together. But most of all, let us remember the indescribable gift, Jesus Christ our Lord, whom was sent by You to become atoning sacrifice for us, that we may have eternal life in Christ Jesus in heaven. We thank You for Him. We thank You for You. Thank God for You. Lord, we lift up our troops around the world, and we're asking You, especially this time when they're missing their family, when they're missing home, keep them safe, and You're willing, bring them back safe and sound. We also pray for the uniformed personnel around this community, such as law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. They are risking their lives for us. We are asking You to put the hedge of protection around them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. These shepherds outside of Bethlehem, most likely they were taking care of the sheep there owned by the priest, temple priest. And this sheep are the one who's going to be the sacrifice in the kingdom for the temple. And they will not be able to go into temple because they have been in the field. And according to Jewish custom, you have to go through certain rituals before they can enter into the temple and be cleansed by the priest. So they are considered as an outcast. They are considered as a lowly people. Remember those two words, lowly people, outcast people. Verse 9. Now we find an angelic announcement here. And behold, angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you a good tiding. Note the word, a good tiding. Of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Underline Christ the Lord again, please. And this will be the sign to you that you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. First announcement of a Messiah's birth was given by angel to this some anonymous shepherd. We don't know, again, I said before, we don't know their name. Why shepherd? Why not priest? Why not scribes? Why not lawyers who knows the laws? Why not high-class people? This is a good example of God's mercy and grace that extend to the mankind. God cares about not only the high-class people, but also He cares about lowly and outcast people. He not only cares about the Jewish people, He also cares about Gentile people. He not only cares for the free people, He cares about the slaves. There is not one person that God would exclude, including Osama bin Laden, including Adolf Hitler, if they choose to come to know Jesus Christ. So you cannot tell me that my sin is too big that God cannot forgive. That's a liar. That's lying from the pit of hell. Shepherds were, as I said before, they were really outcast people in the Israel during the time. They were considered as the lowest rung of the social ladder. Why? Because, number one, usually they are poor people and they don't even have their own flock, so they have to take care of, they're like a caretaker of other people's flock. And not only that, they have this bad reputation that goes with them because they move from place to place to looking for the pasture. They tend to steal things from other people and move to the next location. It's not like they have a forwarding address. They just go somewhere and nobody knows where they went. So being a shepherd, it sounds romantic, it sounds poetic, and it's, you know, a spiritual thing that being a shepherd of the sheep. But however, most of the time, that job is for the low-class people. And they are not reliable, and they are not even considered as a good witness in the court of the law. As many of you know that I was a former graphic designer before I became a pastor for about 20-some years. If I was in charge of announcing the Messiah's arrival, I wouldn't do it this way. This is not the way, sending an angel to the low-class people. That's not the normally we do. If I was in charge, I would have a press conference periodically. 6 months before the event, 3 months before the event, a month before the event, and it goes on. And also, I would have a carefully choreographed group of supporters having a street interview. Some of you guys see that this street interview. Do you think that was done in just by chance? No, that's a prearranged. A day before the D-Day. And then there would be numerous magazine ads and newspaper ads, of course, television ads, announcing the arrival of Jesus Christ. On the day of the arrival, of course, we will call ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, and CNN, all of them, even though they are liberal, they call them, use their network system and announce the arrival of Jesus Christ. That would be our concept. But God is different. God doesn't do it the way we would think. Normally we think. He went to this low-class people. He was not looking for anyone special. He was looking for a willing vessel. He was not looking for a good-looking one. To our God, obedient availability is more important than outward appearance. Let me repeat it one more time. To our God, obedient availability is more important than outward appearance. Note the word that we read, a swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes is a strip of linen that usually used by people to embalm the dead body. In other words, it's a grave clothing. Why anyone, any parents, would use swaddling clothes to wrap this brand new baby? Number one, they were poor. They didn't have a whole lot to prepare for the child. But in a way, it was God's appointed equipment to receive the arriving King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Why? Think with me. When Jesus Christ was arrived to this earth, he had one purpose. What would that be? To die for our sins. And he was wrapped in the swaddling clothes, the grave clothes. Go back 30-some years from there. He was, again, wrapped in the swaddling clothes again. This time, he was laid in the tomb. The manger he was laid in was pretty much a stone-made manger. Don't think the cowboy style with the wooden, you know, fancy wooden manger. It was not. They didn't have that kind of facility to make a lumber. So best thing they could find is a stone chunk of stone. They just carved it in and put the water there or put the, you know, hay there. They just used that animal trough as a baby's crib at the beginning. Instead of stone trough, he laid it in. Later, he laid it in the stone grave. Keep that in the back of your mind, please. So, although the death, see, let's go back to death. You know, about the death, Buddha's death and Muhammad's death and all the other this psychologist's death or the philosopher's death, that death literally stopped them at their track. However, the death of Jesus Christ was fulfilling. Rather, death fulfilled the Jesus Christ ministry because he alone came to die. None of them could make it again. Their lives stopped right where they were. Verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, note the word praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Angel announced the birth of Savior and that's what mankind needed. Mankind did not need another advisor, another commentators or the committee. We needed a Savior. So what is the glad tiding we talked about, or good tiding? That means good news. It's not that God has sent a soldier or judge to make the things better, but that God, man needs peace. Savior is the one who came to give peace. During this time, they called the Pax Romana. That means Roman peace. That the emperor of the Roman Empire dished out to all the Roman regions. All the Roman region now at that time settled down and there won't be any more fight, any more battle. So they said Pax Romana means peace all over the Roman region. Even though they had a peace, they really didn't have a peace. Let me rephrase that. Just because the absence of peace exists, that doesn't mean there is a presence of peace in the heart. While the Roman Empire might be able to give a peace away from the war, they could not provide the peace in the man of heart, heart of man, that requires against the passion and greed and envy. Nobody could give that peace other than the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace and He came to this earth to give the peace. Until you find that peace, let me repeat one more time. Until you find the peace through God, you will never be able to have peace with God. Let me back off one more time. Until you have a peace through Jesus Christ, you will never be able to have a peace with God. If you don't have a peace with God, guess what happened to you at the end of your life on this earth? You will be in hell. And you may say, what about my good behavior? What about it? According to God's eyes, that's not good enough. No one is good. No, not one. We all fall short of the glory of God. And the result of sin is eternal death. But gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Let's go to the Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. And some of you say, well, I'm a good person. Let's see what God said about the good person. Jeremiah 17:9. This is what God says about the heart of man. 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things. I read again. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Folks, by looking around here, I can see all of you are very nice people. The people in prison, the difference between people in prison and the people here and you guys, the difference is they got caught, you haven't got caught from what you're thinking. In your thought, you killed many people, you with envy and murderous thought. If I can just remind you what you do on the highway I-19, do I need to repeat it one more time? I don't think so. If you lie to somebody, that's a deception. What's it different than conjure? If you had a lustful thought, what's it different than rape? There's no difference. They got caught because they did physically. We haven't got caught because we were thinking. There's no difference. In God's eyes, our sin is no different than what they did in the prison. according to the Word of God, what we just read, heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? We all need this peace that comes from Jesus Christ alone. On the side note, just for the no extra charge, let's go back to the verse 13. The multitude of heavenly hosts are praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on peace, on earth peace, and goodwill toward men. You don't see anywhere it says host of heaven singing like a hallelujah chorus. We all think that somehow, because somebody else said it, angels were singing. Well, what do you know? They were not singing, they were saying. Right? Just for no extra charge. Just blow your bubble again with the after the Santa Claus. Verse 15. So it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see these things, and it has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Just as suddenly this angelic host showed up to the shepherds, and they disappeared, and left these shepherds and the sheep on the field alone. When their heartbeat came back to normal rate, and they were thinking, wow, we better check this out. And so they left their sheep alone, with somebody, and they ran to the Bethlehem, which is probably a little distance. I'd say that would be the first Christmas rush. When you come to church, come to this church, one thing I promise you, you'll hear the word of truth. You hear the word of truth without compromise, and as you know, I don't mince a word when it comes to speaking the truth. Once we hear the truth, listen please, once we hear the truth, we have a choice to obey God and follow God, or ignore Him and go back to the evil world where we came from. We have a choice to follow Him, obey Him, or go back to the world by ignoring Him. Whatever the sin you are committing, or you've been committing, or you will commit, you can choose to stop. And stop at the right there and ask God to forgive you. There was one time we went up to the men's conference. At the men's conference in Prescott, there we have this, the times we confront each other, which is a very good thing. One of the pastor friends of mine is John Brown from the Calvary Chapel Central Phoenix. Out of blue, he stopped in the middle of a worship, and he said he got received a word of knowledge. He said there is a man who is committing adultery with the woman named Stephanie. And he stopped. He said, I believe that's what the Lord is telling me. If not, forget about it. He went on. And third day, that is the last day at the end of the conference, a man came up to give a testimony. He said, Pastor John mentioned about there a man who is committing adultery. That was me. That man had a choice to go back to where he came from, or he stop and turn around. Don't think that God does not know you, what you're doing. He does. He knows what I'm doing. Whenever I do wrong things, I have to do the spot check. I talk with God, ask forgiveness, move on. If you're committing sin, as I said before, if you don't have a peace through the Son of God, you will not have a peace with God. I'm not saying that you come to the Christ and because of one sin you will lose salvation. Don't go there. But you need to take care of that sin. Because if you don't take care of that sin will become like a snowball that coming down from the top of a mountain and become an avalanche. And you won't be able to stop it. Wouldn't that be great for us to take care of all the sins at the end of this year and start brand new with God? Because if you come to God and ask God, remember the sin I asked you to forgive me? And then he said, what sin? I don't remember. He said, I will cast your sin from the sea of forgetfulness, and then I will take it off as far as from the east to the west. He doesn't remember. God is forgiving sin, forgiving God. But this lowly shepherd heard the truth, and they did something. They heard the truth, and they went to find the truth, and according to what it says. And you may say, well, if I heard from angelic hosts like they did, I will do the same thing. Well, what do you think this is? Word of God. That means it's a voice of God. You have something better than voice of an angel. Now, what is your excuse? What is my excuse? Shouldn't we do the same thing what this shepherd did? Just simply obey God and follow God. We don't have excuse, folks. So verse 16. And we came with haste, they came with haste, found Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger. Some people will go great lengths to wrap the gift, especially ladies. They just love to wrap this with the pretty things. For the guys, we don't care about wrapping. We just give me that thing, forget the wrapping. So nowadays, I just hand out the package. Here, take it. Get out of my face. No, I don't say that. And I just want them to give me the thingy, not rapping. Who cares about rapping? If all the guys are doing things, then the Hallmark would go out of business. God's gift did not come in a fancy, beautifully ornated, beautifully wrapped package. It came in simple package. Can you imagine traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem? By the time, and they were riding the donkey, and there was no hopping in the car and driving on the highway and get to the Bethlehem. That's quite a distance. They came on the donkey. And when they arrived in Bethlehem, they could not find a room in the inn. So they had to stay in this stable that was made out of from the cave, damp, and cold cave at night. You know, our idea of this nativity scene is so pretty. Halos and all this light and all the animals are looking at it with the gooey eyes. Folks, the last time when I was in the stable, it was not pretty. It was not smelling good. It stunk. Stable is a stable. That's not the sanitary place where you would have a child. But that's the only place available. God's most precious indescribable gift came in a simple package as a child. This shepherd came, and they saw this helpless child, helpless infant baby, instead of a mighty, strong warrior. And God simply told them, this is the Messiah. That's where the faith comes in. In spite of the things that are against their normal concept, they simply believed. And some of you might say, with this size crowd, there might be some of you don't believe Jesus Christ, Son of God, and God Himself. And you might say, unless I see it, I cannot believe. Folks, that's where the faith comes in. Without faith, you cannot please God. So they simply came and believed. It was not the manger was not made out of gold, and Jesus did not have a satin sheet, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and inside of the manger, golden stone manger. After dazzling angelic host appearance and words, it was confirmed by their witnessing. As you note the word Christ, it means anointed one in Greek and Messiah in Hebrew. Christ the Lord, that means it's a Messiah the Lord. That means anointed one the Lord and God himself. So this group of shepherds made a choice to believe what they saw in spite of appearance, and they worship this child according to verse 20 we are going to read. Let's move on to the verse 17. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known and saying it was told them concerning this child, and all those who heard it and marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned and glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. Remember what I said at the beginning? Shepherds had a bad reputation. They were stealing. They are the thief and they are the liars. When they witnessed about the Jesus Christ, people believed. Why? Because these people were changed people. If the person who is witnessing, person who is giving testimony is not a changed person, that testimony and witness doesn't mean a thing. Let me put it this way. Let's say there's a person named Charlie, since I always pick on Charlie, I hope there's nobody named Charlie. This Charlie became a born-again Christian, and he's been a heroin addict, and he's been a drunkard. If he continues to drink and continues using heroin, his witness, his testimony does not have any weight. Once you become a born-again Christian, guess what the God's going to do? He's going to start to change your life, and you have to let him. If you continue to do the things that what you've been doing, your witness and your testimony doesn't mean a thing to the non-believers. So we need to change our attitude. Shepherds didn't hear the angelic message and do nothing about it. They sought after the truth, the babe in the manger. And they believed that baby was the Messiah and worshipped him. To everyone's surprise, they started to talk about this newborn king. And they become the first evangelists of the good news of Jesus Christ. Folks, these shepherds are the good example for us to follow. Telling others about the Savior is our solemn obligation and a great privilege. And we who are believers must be faithful to do so. And some of you may say, well, that's your job. That's pastor's job. That's evangelist's job. That's deacon's job. No. That's everybody's job. Everybody's job. And you may say, well, I don't know how. Well, study. Study the Word. Let the Word go through you. Then you will be able to do it very easily. Let me put it this way. When Jesus came to us as a babe in the manger, which is animal trough, as I said before, that was rather surprising event. That stone manger became a crib for him and the only thing to receive him. 30 years down the road, when he died on the cross, after he died on the cross, they put him into this stone grave. However, that stone grave was covered with a stone, the rolling stone, and guarded by the Roman, who tried to keep the body of Jesus Christ inside. Through the resurrection, he is not there. And God sent his angels to roll away that stone so the people from the outside could see the empty tomb. Pay attention, please. Some of you might have to roll away that stony heart of yours to enter into the realm of the eternal life in Christ Jesus. If you've been thinking so far that, well, I'm a good person, I've been going to church, like I said before, that doesn't mean a thing. You with me? You need to roll away that stone. God will not do for you. Nobody can do for you. You are the only one who can do it. Push away that stone. Don't let the pride get into you in the middle of it. Don't let anything get in the middle of it. Because it's a matter of death and life, of your eternal life. Folks, pride is not worth it. And your friend will not be in hell with you having a Budweiser party. It will be a miserable place for you to be if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Let's make an application. Number one, to our God, obedient availability is more important than outward appearance. Number two, telling others about the Savior is a solemn obligation as well as a great privilege, and we who are believers must be faithful to do so. Please remember. Let's stand up and pray.